Farmers, do you want to learn essential agriculture practices and benefit from your land? Look no further. Tune in to Witness Radio for expert knowledge and guidance.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio. Welcome to Witness Radio broadcast program.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are listening from. Welcome to Witness Radio, your trusted voice. This is Eyes on a Just Energy Transition, a compelling new program from Witness Radio that spotlights the realities of climate change. This radio program goes beyond sharing information about sparkling dialogue, shaping public understanding, and driving collective action toward a just energy transition across Africa and beyond. The program airs every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. East African Standard Time. Join us as experts from across the globe explore and unpack the renewable energy transition journey. I am Will Stephen, your host. Globally, renewable capacity statistics 2025 show that countries are progressively transiting to sustainable energy. By the end of 2024, renewable accounted for 46% of global installed power capacity. According to the International Renewable Energy Agency, following the trend reported in recent years, the year 2024 saw the largest increase in renewable energy capacity to date, with an addition of 585 gigabytes of renewable, expanding the stock of renewable power by 15.1%. Despite record renewable additions in 2024, current growth rates indicate the world is not on track to triple installed renewable power capacity to 11 terawatts by 2030. Around the world, countries are moving away from dirty fossil-based fuels like coal, oil, and gas to embrace cleaner, sustainable energy sources that protect our planet. For Uganda's case, the country had lost nearly half of its forest cover between the 1990s and 2023. This dramatic deforestation was largely driven by the widespread reliance on firewood and charcoal for daily cooking and heating needs, as well as the expansion of agriculture to meet the demands of a rapidly growing population. Commercial logging and large development projects further accelerated the loss of forested areas. Uganda, too, is part of this global movement. Uganda, on the African continent, located in East Africa, is advancing its shift toward renewable energy through its energy transition plan to expand access to modern energy services and reduce dependence on biomass by 2030, in line with its national energy policies. But what exactly does this transition mean for us as a country and as citizens? Today, we take you on a formative journey, the journey of Uganda's renewable energy transition plan. It is a new radio series program, The Media in Renewable Energy. In this series, we are using the power of media to shine a light on Uganda's journey toward clean, sustainable energy. In this episode, we break down Uganda's energy transition plan, exploring how it aims to shift our nation from reliable on firewood, charcoal, and diesel toward modern, clean, and renewable energy sources such as solar, wind, hydropower, and biomass, among others. We will hear from experts leading this transformation from the government, the National Renewable Energy Platform, the Climate Action Network, the Uganda Coalition for Sustainable Development, among others, as they unpack the policy framework, successes, challenges, and opportunities along the way. Stay tuned as we uncover how Uganda's renewable energy transition is not just about electricity, but about people, livelihoods, and the future of our environment. Uganda's journey towards clean and renewable energy has been long and challenging. For decades, the country's energy axis was dominated by traditional biomass such as firewood and charcoal, and in the late 1980s and 1990s, Ugandans even faced a major energy crisis due to low electricity generation. But through significant reforms and new investments, Uganda has begun unlocking its vast renewable energy potential. To understand this progress and what lies ahead, we spoke to Geoffrey Kimuli, the coordinator of the National Renewable Energy Platform Uganda. He takes us through the country's renewable energy journey from planning to production and the successes achieved so far. But before Chimuli comes in, let us go for a short commercial break, and when we return, Chimuli will proceed from there.
Breaking the silence and elevating community voices.
Witness Radio, thank you so much. You have become our voices. Nobody would know what is taking place, because for a long time, we had not known what was going on in Kiryandongo, what had taken place in Mubende, because the grabbers operate at night when people are asleep. But you have done a lot.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Do you have any information in regards to land grabbing? Or you're aware of any person who has been evicted and their property destroyed because of land disputes? Report to Witness Radio through our numbers 0414-697-221 or WhatsApp 0745-965-765. Or you can report directly to our website on www.witnessradio.org. Just click on the map, follow the direction, click on the map indicating the individuals and the land being grabbed. Click on that word, report evictions. Then report any victim of land evictions. Thereafter, search for your area of residence on that map. Click your area of residence, then a red dot will indicate. Click the red dot and fill in the form, then save your input. Don't forget to attach the picture of the grabbed land in question, then upload to send.
You're listening to Witness Radio Broadcast Program.
Welcome back from that commercial break. And now, let us proceed with our conversation with Mr. Chimuli.
Perhaps we hope close to 100% of that is being generated. Now, over that, we have hydropower. This is the power coming from the water dams, which amounts to 1,710 megawatts, including Karuma, the newly installed, commissioned Karuma of 600 megawatts, and then Isimba, which was commissioned some time ago, producing 183 megawatts. Then we have a number of mini and small hydro stations that produce the balance, which totals up to 1,710 megawatts. Our geothermal potential is estimated at 450 megawatts, but the country has not yet harnessed this potential. But studies are undergoing, and hopefully in a few more years, shall realize some power generation from the geothermal resources. Biomass, of course, has been the mainstay ever since of the country's energy consumption, and it was estimated at 1,650 megawatts. That is, if all was to be developed into power. But as of now, we have cogeneration facilities, that is, from the sugar factories and other sugar cane crushing installations, producing a total of 160 megawatts, which is fed into the main grid, in addition to supplying the local communities that could be surrounding those installations. You can generate a lot of energy from solar. I don't think we have harnessed even 10% of that, not yet. But currently, we are producing about 88.4 megawatts from all the installations and the mini grids and solar home systems. And it was estimated that about around 1,650 megawatts could be developed if all resources were taken, were harnessed.
Uganda recently unveiled its Energy Transition Plan, ETP, on December 5th, 2023, during the COP28 Climate Conference in Dubai. The transition plan is a key step toward achieving Uganda's Vision 2040 and improving the quality of life for citizens across the country. Despite these efforts, many Ugandans, particularly in rural areas, continue to rely on firewood and charcoal for cooking and kerosene lamps for lighting. These energy sources are not only costly over time, but also pose serious health risks and contribute to environmental degradation. The Energy Transition Plan seeks to replace them with cleaner, safer, and more sustainable alternatives, making renewable energy accessible to all Ugandans. But how should clean energy be? First and foremost, Mr. Kimball Richard, the chairman of Renewable Energy Civil Societies Network, and a member board of trustees of NEREP, explains.
Green energy is energy that fulfills a number of parameters or factors. The first of course, it has to be renewable in the sense that when we tap it, again tomorrow we shall tap it, and the other day we should be able to tap it without any challenge. Something that it is indefinite. And then it has to be secure and affordable. Secure means environmental or health challenges, but also affordable. That's also very important. And then it has to be accessible as well. And then the other thing should that it should be efficient. And then it definitely should be able to create jobs, but also improve lives at the end of the day. Above all, it has to contribute to reduction in emissions. It has to be something that's contributing towards the global call to reduce greenhouse gases, principally carbon dioxide and methane.
Uganda's Energy Transition Plan aims to diversify the country's energy sources, increase access to clean and renewable energy, and reduce reliance on biomass and fossil fuels. This shift is critical to moving Uganda toward a more sustainable energy future. Currently, Uganda has a total installed capacity of electricity of 2,048 megawatts. But of these, 54% is consumed nationally by the population, and only 24% is connected to the grid. Mr. Kimley explains.
Definitely, we can generate a lot of energy from solar. I don't think we have harnessed even 10% of that, not yet. But currently, we are producing about 88.4 megawatts from all the installations and the mini grids and solar home systems. The current estimated total from solar production is about 88.4 megawatts. In addition, we have thermal generation, which is about 100 megawatts as of now, to add on the grid. Because thermal generation plants were closed down, some are still operating.
Despite these improvements, the pace of energy consumption remains slow, largely due to poverty and what experts call energy poverty, when households cannot afford to access available energy sources.
Basically, we know we have been relying on biomass for quite a good period of time, which biomass that has been providing around 88 to 90% of the total consumed energy in the country. 88%, this is including the electricity and the petroleum supplied energy resources. So of all that, the total of 88% was from biomass. And then you find that all other energy sources were supplying a mere 12%. Consuming about 12% of the total. And when you talk about clean energy use, again, the trend will follow the same, because the 88% is basically used in households and commercial enterprises.
Let's go for another short break, and when we return, we shall listen to Mr. Chimbo Richard, the chairman of Renewable Energy Civil Societies Network.
In most cases, you're tuned into Witness Radio, where truth meets the airwaves. Stay with us for real stories. Witness Radio, your story, your voice.
Land grabbers are not known, victims cannot be traced, and loss of property and livelihood goes unnoticed.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Listen to Witness Radio to learn more about environmental laws and policies and how you can protect the environment.
You're listening to Witness Radio broadcast program.
Welcome back from that commercial break. Uganda's energy transition plan is more than just a policy. It is rather a roadmap to transform the way Ugandans access and use energy, particularly for those who still rely on firewood, charcoal, and kerosene for their daily needs. But what does this mean for ordinary citizens, and how will it change their lives? Mr. Chimbo explained that the plan is ambitious. It seeks to drastically reduce reliance on biomass, which currently accounts for over 90% of Uganda's energy consumption, and boost renewable energy sources from just 2% today to nearly 75% by 2050.
The energy transition plan talks of the transition. Transition, as it sounds, the move, we move from bioenergy to reduction in bioenergy, or call it biofuels or whatever. Currently we are over 90, yes. But we want to reduce it to almost a quarter, or actually less than a quarter by 2060. Yes. Then other renewables also want to now to hike them from very low as 2% to about 75% by 2050.
Chimbo notes that access to clean cooking remains a major challenge. Many households cannot afford even simple improved stoves for firewood or charcoal. But the plan aims to change that, making clean energy cooking more accessible and affordable. Indoor air pollution from traditional cooking is a serious threat to health. Each year, thousands of Ugandans, including infants, die due to exposure to smoke from firewood and charcoal. By transitioning to clean energy, the plan seeks to prevent these deaths and improve overall public health.
You know, we lose so many people out of pollution, indoor pollution. Some figures put it that we are up to something like 8.2% of the infants that die because of that. But some figures also put like 50,000 people die annually because of that. So that's a challenge. So in switching or transiting, we see an opportunity for better health lives, and therefore can reduce this death or loss of lives or disease or chronic having diseases.
Uganda, like many countries, is facing the real impacts of climate change. Rising temperatures, unpredictable rainfall, prolonged droughts, and extreme weather events. These changes affect ordinary citizens directly. Farmers struggle with the unreliable rains, crop fail, and water sources dry up. In urban areas, pollution from traditional energy sources like charcoal and firewood worsens air quality, increasing respiratory illnesses. The Energy Transition Plan is also Uganda's response to global climate calls, including the Paris Agreement. The country has set an ambitious target, zero emissions by 2065. Transitioning to renewable energy not only reduces emissions, but also enables productive use of energy in sectors like agriculture, manufacturing, and small and medium enterprises, creating jobs, incomes, and helping communities move out of poverty.
For us as Uganda, we are looking at having our net zero emissions by 2065, which is quite also ambitious, but I think it's affordable. We can do it. The Energy Transition Plan then helps us to contribute to this low emissions trend.
Uganda forests have long been a vital part of the country's environment, providing timber, fuel, biodiversity, and essential ecosystem services such as clean water and carbon storage. However, between the 1990s and 2023, the nation lost nearly half of its forest cover. This dramatic deforestation was largely driven by widespread reliance on firewood and charcoal for daily cooking and heating needs, as well as the expansion of agriculture to meet the demands of a rapidly growing population. Commercial logging and large development projects further accelerated the loss of forested areas. The consequences of this forest loss are far-reaching. Soil erosion has increased, water retention in the environment has declined, biodiversity has suffered, and carbon emissions have risen, contributing to climate change. Rural communities feel the impact directly, as dwindling forests reduce access to fuel, water, and medical plants, making households more vulnerable to environmental shocks and energy scarcity. Mr. Chimbawa says by reducing dependence on firewood and charcoal, the plan aims not only to provide cleaner, safer energy for households and business, but also to protect and restore forests, safeguarding these natural resources for future generations. He notes that progress is being made, but it is slow due to limited resources, a growing population, and persistent demand for wood fuel. Still, the plan provides a roadmap for balancing human energy needs with environmental conservation and sustainable development.
There are now figures that indicate that we are on the trend to restore it, but it's a hard way. It's slow. It takes for many reasons, including fossil resources, but also the population is growing very fast. As you can imagine, now we are 45 or something, and all those 45 people have to eat. Eating, they rely heavily on firewood and charcoal. Big challenge. So in transiting from biomass to other renewables, then we stand a chance to safeguard our forest cover. But in the current state, we are moving very slow. Unless really the investment goes up, huge investment actually is required, not only in here, but even in other countries in Sub-Saharan Africa. The investment that is needed to transit is huge. And therefore, the dependence is on whether we shall have the resources in terms of finance, in terms of human, but also technological advanced technological transfer that can enable us to target particular users of this firewood, not only households, but also institutions, so that they switch. And that takes a while because private entities sometimes they might not move as fast as you would want, and therefore all these factors come into play to get this thing done.
As we wrap up today's episode, it is clear that the journey toward clean and sustainable energy is both ambitious and necessary. The plan is not just about electricity. It's about transforming the lives of ordinary Ugandans, improving health, creating jobs, safeguarding forests, and protecting the environment for future generations. Uganda's transition from firewood, charcoal, and diesel to renewable energy sources like solar, hydropower, wind, and biomass is a critical step in tackling energy poverty, reducing carbon emissions, and building a more resilient and inclusive economy. Yet, as our experts highlighted today, the journey is challenging. Limited resources, high population growth, and the slow adoption of renewable technologies mean that progress will require continued investment, innovation, and community engagement. The Energy Transition Plan provides a roadmap, a vision for a Uganda where clean, reliable energy is accessible to all, forests are restored, and livelihoods are improved. It is a journey that will take time, commitment, and collective effort. But the potential rewards are enormous: healthier families, thriving communities, and a greener, more sustainable future. In our next episode on Witness Radio, we take a closer look at how Uganda is actively promoting renewable energy, from national policies and legal framework to community progress that are transforming lives. We will talk in depth about Transition Plan, the National Energy Policy 2023, and the other initiatives that are making solar, biogas, and clean cooking solutions accessible to households and institutions. Hear from experts about how these policies are shaping Uganda's low-carbon future, driving industrial growth, and protecting the environment.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Do development projects or land evictions affect your community? Share these experiences with us on Witness Radio.
Thank you for keeping it locked on Witness Radio. Stay tuned, stay informed, and stay inspired to be part of Uganda's energy revolution.
Thank you for listening to Witness Radio broadcast program.